Amen. Well, good morning, Keystone family. Welcome in on New Year's weekend. Let me give you some thoughts that I've had this week about this season, and especially the week that's upon us. It seems to me like the week between Christmas and New Year's is one of those weeks where we tend to forget everything, like what day of the week it is, what the date is, what the year is. That week between Christmas and New Year's, for some of us, maybe you've been off work for a while, you had a little bit of vacation in between, you've had family in. The pace of life changes for these 7 days, and you're just like, you're kind of in this time warp. And then at the end of that, we kind of barely recover from all of the Christmas activities. At least this is how it is in my home. And then we're kind of thrust into thinking about New Year's, right? And that's where we are today. We're in New Year's, and we've come through this week. And now we're sort of thrust into thinking about, here we are, 2022. And I thought about it like this. I ask this question of you as I've asked it of myself. How does 2022 look? How does it look? And in asking that, if you're like me, you're probably asking primarily one of three questions, thinking about one of primarily three things. And you're gonna probably swim in all of these because I am. But the first one is this, you're looking at where you've been. You say, I'm looking at where I've been, because maybe you're here. And coming into 2022, you're bringing things in from 2021 that aren't gonna go away just because the calendar changed a page, right? And you say, whatever good thing, whatever bad thing I had, maybe you're here and you're still like, I'm looking at where I've been. Or maybe you're here and you're like, I'm looking at where I'm at. And it's like, what I'm living in right now, Matt, is today, right? This is where I'm at. Forgetting what's behind me, not really thinking about the new year. I've got things to deal with right this week, today, right now. You're looking at where you're at. Or traditionally with New Year's, we think about the people who are looking ahead. And you're like, it's all about 2022. And maybe for you, it's like, I hope good things continue. Or maybe you're like, I cannot wait for a new year. I am so ready for 2022. Well, every year when we come to this season, we probably think primarily along one of those three ways. And depending on which perspective is dominant, 2022 looks different from all of us. I've been through a lot of New Year's in my life. And depending on those years, here's some things I've faced. See if you can relate. Maybe you're here this morning and on the cusp of 2022, you're dealing with the threat of some hardship or a suffering that will simply follow you out of 2021 and into 2022. There's some suffering in your life or some hardship in your life. And you're like, I'm bringing that, this very specific thing into a new year. Maybe you're here, and I gotta tell you, this is how I feel. Jalen and I have talked, and maybe for you, there's been excessive grace and mercy in 2021, and that just propels you into the new year with gratitude. Jalen and I have spent the last week just reflecting on the goodness of God to the Fries. Man, God has been good to the Fries. And this past week has been the opportunity to reflect on that grace and that mercy and in gratitude say, here we go into 2022. Maybe that's your story. Maybe there's an unrelenting sense of fear as it relates to things you can't control or a mistake you've made. Or maybe the future is just unclear. Maybe that's how you're seated here today. Maybe there's the promise of some new relationship or a new opportunity that's on the horizon for the new year. Maybe that's where you are. Those are four things I thought of that year in and year out, I face them coming into the season of the new year. So the question this morning is, how does 2022 look? How does it look? You know, in the Christian Standard Bible, that's the Bible version we use at Keystone, some variation of the word look appears 795 times. And as I scrolled through those 795 verses, I didn't read them all, but as I scrolled through them, it was interesting how many times it was either used in reference to someone looking at the wrong thing or God trying to get someone to look at the right thing. So 795 times, the word, some semblance of the word look appears in the CSB. And it's very often God saying, you're looking at the wrong thing, or God saying, look at this thing. Examples, let me show you two. This is in the Old Testament, Old New Testament. 1 Samuel 16:7. This is God choosing David to be king in Israel. He says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature because I have rejected him. Humans don't see what the Lord sees. Humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. So there's God saying, you're looking at the wrong thing. Look at the right thing. James, New Testament, James 1:23. James writes, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in the mirror. So far, so good. But notice James says, he looks at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he is. James is calling us to take a deeper look, a better look. So think about that word look. Think about 2022 and how it looks for you. I think among the most helpful things we can say at the end of this year, at the end of any year, is this: keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. New year, same Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. There's a story in the Gospels. It appears in Matthew 14, other places in the Gospels. You remember this story? For some of us, it's very familiar. If you're new to the Bible, maybe you don't know this story, but it's remarkable. Jesus is in a boat in a storm with his disciples. He's gonna calm the storm. Peter, in the midst of that turmoil, says to Jesus, I'd like to walk on the water. Jesus comes walking on the water. Remember this story? And Peter gets out of the boat and walks to Jesus. And for a while, it works. You remember that? Where Jesus walks to Jesus. Peter walks to Jesus in the storm. And the wheels fall off, right? Because of what? The Bible tells us, and books have been written about this, because Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, right? Many of us know that story. And in the same way, friends, I think some of the best advice I can give you for 2022 is this: keep your eyes on Jesus. And out of that wisdom this morning and into the reality of everything you see coming at you in 2022, I want us to consider together how keeping our eyes on Jesus will always help us look in the right direction. That's what we want to do this morning. From the book of Hebrews, Will mentioned, go ahead and turn there, chapter 12. Can I summarize Hebrews for you? This is really a bad summary, but I don't have a lot of time, all right? It's incomplete, the summary, but Hebrews essentially, really boiled down, is this: from the shadow in the Old Testament to the substance in the New Testament, that's what we find in Jesus. Jesus is better. So the writer of the book of Hebrews is making a point that the Old Testament is shadow, not necessarily less important, but it's shadow. And in the New Testament, it's Jesus, and he's the substance of that shadow. So if you come back again and again in the new year, we're gonna be in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, there's a lot of shadow pointing to the substance that is Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews, for his audience, is making that point. Shadow of the Old Testament, substance in Jesus. Jesus is better. Brief summary of the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 12, in keeping with that theme, the writer of Hebrews tells us, keep your eyes on Jesus. So follow along here. Hebrews 12, we're just gonna look at two verses. Therefore, Hebrews 12:1, therefore, notice there's a lot of interesting words in these two verses. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm gonna share with you some things to look at today. Look at Jesus. Let me press into keeping your eyes on Jesus a little more. Look at him. Go back to the text with me. Do you see what the writer says? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is the source and the perfecter of our faith. Interesting words there. Jesus is, CSB version says, Jesus is the source and the perfecter of our faith. Those words are translated very differently in different versions of the Bible. It's interesting, that word source, do you see it there? Jesus is the source. He is the source. One translation says he's the champion. Another translation says the originator, the founder, the author. There's one translation that really captures the meaning of the original language, pioneer. We don't think of that word when we think of Jesus. He is the pioneer of our faith. The Greek word there, source, is used of a prince or a leader. the representative head of a family, okay? But it also carries the nuance of a trailblazer, one who breaks through to new ground for those who follow him. That word is used 35 times in the Greek Old Testament and 4 times in the New Testament, and it's always used of Jesus, the pioneer. Jesus is the champion of our faith, the originator. This is Hebrews 2:10. Notice, for in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was entirely appropriate that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the source, same word that we see in 12:1, that he should make the source, their salvation, perfect through suffering. It's a mirror verse to what we read in Hebrews 12:1 and 2. Jesus is, he's the champion of our faith. He's the pioneer of our faith. But notice it says he's also the perfecter. Commentaries note that Jesus' saving work initiated and completed the pathway of faith for us. Jesus initiated and completed. Why am I saying keep your eyes on Jesus? Because friends, honestly, whether it's 2022 or any other year, there's nowhere else to work. Without Christ, we have no hope. We have no faith. He is the source. He is the pioneer, the trailblazer, the one who went first to perfect our faith. So the writer says, look at Jesus. Again, he uses this word throughout the book. Look at 10:14. This is Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has, here's our word, perfected forever those who are sanctified. Keep your eyes on Jesus, this writer says. You know why? Because he's the champion of your faith. If you know and follow Jesus, we have a pioneer, a trailblazer who went before us, and he perfected our faith. Wouldn't it be nice to be in Arizona this morning? I have a reason you might not want to be there. Stay with me. Rattlesnakes. I read an article this past week about a company in Arizona called Rattlesnake Solutions. And for me, the rattlesnake solution is kill the snake, right? It's not that hard. But that's not what this company does. Their job is to go into homes in Arizona and remove rattlesnakes. And so they have this whole social media empire of like video of people that work for Rattlesnake Solutions taking rattlesnakes off of people's front porches, out of their basement, sitting eye level in their garage, coming up out of the toilet. Rattlesnake Solutions. I'll take 5 below. I think. I'm not sure. Rattlesnake Solutions. Here's the thing about Arizona, though. Guess what keeps them in business? They're never going to get rid of all the rattlesnakes. They build great fences. They take a lot of snakes out of homes. But for as long as we're here, there's going to be rattlesnakes in Arizona. That captures a little bit of the spirit of what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us when he says, keep your eyes on Jesus because he's the one who is the trailblazer. He's the one who can take away sin. He's the one who went in once and for all. His sacrifice on the cross is the one that was in our place. Friends, listen, some of us, when it comes to sin in our lives, we're building fences as fast as we can build them. And we're trying to remove rattlesnakes as quick as we can. And by the way, the parallel of a rattlesnake and sin in the Bible is not lost on me. A lot of us are trying to deal with sin on our own terms. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says to us. We have one who is, here's a phrase for you. Think about Jesus like this. He is a transforming trailblazer. Think about Jesus like that. The writer of Hebrews says he's the one who went first and he took care of all of it. He transformed it. That's who Jesus is. So keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says this about Jesus. His resurrection is the first of a kind resurrection that promises others will follow. Jesus himself said, because I live, you also will live. He is that transforming trailblazer. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at him. Then look around, okay? Look around. Go back to the text with me. Notice, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, isn't that interesting wording? Look around. Therefore, anytime, if you read the Bible much, you learn this. Anytime you see the word therefore, you ask yourself, what is it there for? And the fact of the matter is, as you read that word, we can't understand that verse without understanding what precedes it. So what comes before it? Paul is saying this, or the writer of Hebrews, maybe Paul is saying this, and this, therefore. Well, what comes before the therefore? Well, in the book of Hebrews, we see it's chapter 11. And in chapter 11, it's the heroes in the hall of faith who have gone before us. Here's a glimpse of what these people were like. These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance. They greeted them and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. The writer of Hebrews says, that's who surrounds us. Those who have gone before. Writer of Hebrews says, pick up your eyes, look to Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, and look around at the cloud of witnesses, the writer calls it. Interestingly, that word cloud, you see that, the cloud of witnesses? In the Greek language, it's only used here in the Bible. It's the only place that word's used. And metaphorically, it's like a stadium stacked full of people. But listen, that stadium full of people is less about them cheering us on and more about us learning from their example. That was helpful for me. Many times when I've read this verse, it's like Matt Frye, super Christian, steps into the stadium of people stacked like clouds, and they're saying, go Matt Frye! Kind of. But it's less of that, and it's more of this. It's more of Matt Frye stepping into that stadium and saying, look at the legacy of people around me in my life. Look at the cloud of witnesses, people in the Bible, people in my life who have gone before me and who have set the pace for me. I need to be more like that. I mean, think of it like this. If you go to the Hall of Fame for whatever sport you're interested in, you don't go to the Hall of Fame to think about what a great athlete you are, right? Like, you don't visit the Baseball Hall of Fame and be like, I was a great baseball player. I'm going to the Hall of Fame to compare myself. No! You go to the Hall of Fame to look at people who were really good at what they did. And friends, what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us is, when you get your eyes on Jesus, you can look around at what he calls a cloud of witnesses, a stadium stacked full of people who ran this race. You're surrounded by them. Look at them. Look at the way they've lived. May their character, may the integrity of men and women who have gone before us motivate us to keep the faith. We're surrounded and we're running a race. That's used metaphorically throughout the New Testament to describe a struggle. You see, the writer of Hebrews says that. Run the race with endurance. The picture here is a struggle, a fight, a course, or a career. It's the language of finish the course, of fight the good fight, of finish the race, of run to win. So, I wonder, who is your cloud of witnesses? When you look around, who is your cloud of witnesses? In the month of December in my family, I had the opportunity, I was asked to take some time to document my cloud of witnesses. It wasn't put to me like that, but it was, hey Matt, look back in your family and write a brief paragraph about who in your past has shaped your life and your walk with Jesus. Take some time to write that out. Man, here's something to do this week in the new year. Document your cloud of witnesses. In your mind, write that down. Like, this week I'm gonna document, take a page of paper and write, what is the legacy? What is the cloud of witnesses? What is the stadium people stacked up in my past that have made me the man or the woman of God that I am? I gotta tell you, that was an incredible experience for me. God has been good to my family. I stand on the shoulders of men and women, grandparents and great-grandparents, some who I never knew, people parallel to my life, who spoke into my life, who walked with integrity, who in a sense said to me, Matt, I did it, you can do it. Do you know who those people are in your life? Do you take time to look into the past, to be motivated to be a man of character, a woman of integrity, based on those who have come before you? And maybe you're here and you say, you know what, Matt, my past is a bunch of outlaws. I don't have anybody like that. Okay, then it starts with you. If you're a parent in here, that's who you are for your kids. That someday you become that person who your child, your grandchild, somewhere down the line, a friend, some acquaintance, like there was this person back here and they're like a cloud of witness to me. Like if they walked with integrity, I can walk with integrity. The writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus and then look around. You have a stadium full of people who have done this. Walk with integrity. Run the race. Who comes before you're there for? Therefore, the writer says, in other words, based on all those people who have come before you, who comes before you're there for? Look back and then look around at the countless witnesses, the cloud of examples of people who kept their eyes on Jesus, and may that example help you run your race as you keep your eyes on Jesus. Look out. That's the third thing. Look out. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at him. Then look around. Then look out. Back to the text. Let us, again, interesting words. Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. The language there of laying aside, it means to strip off. It means to get rid of garments. It's used elsewhere in the Bible in terms of casting something off or putting something off or putting something away. Did you ever run with a shoe untied? Or a child, you know, your child does that, like, tie your shoe. Why? Well, because you'll embarrass yourself or hurt yourself if you've ever tripped over your shoelace. Here's a better one. Did you ever have like wide-legged pants and riding a bicycle and that pant leg gets caught in the chain? And you know, you're cruising at 30 miles an hour downhill and just face plant on the bicycle. Like you only do that one time, right? Hopefully. And then you're like, I don't care how stupid I look. I'm tucking my pant leg inside my socks. I don't want that to happen again. That's the language we have here. The writer of Hebrews says, beware of things in your life that can ensnare you. Cast those things off. Tie your shoes, spiritually speaking. Tuck your pants and your socks if you need to. Look out. There are things that will hinder you. There is sin that will ensnare you. I thought about it like this. What is something in your life that can tangle you up and take you down? Here's what I know. I don't care if it's a new year, new you. Some of us here today, we are tangled up in sin. And some of us here, sin is ready to take you down. And you think, I got this, and I can play with this, and I've dealt with this in the past, and it will take you down. The writer of Hebrews says you're running a race surrounded by a stadium stacked with people who have done this. Look around at them and look out because there is sin that will ensnare you. Look out. I'm always struck by the story of Cain and Abel, and how the trail of Cain goes through the Bible. Because that's kind of worst case scenario, right? If you know that story. Like when you think of sinners, I mean, Cain's certainly in the top 10, right? He killed his brother. Like God said, do it this way. And Cain's like, no, I'm not doing it that way. I'm doing it this way. And it made him so angry that he killed his brother over it. And I don't know about you, but I don't often compare myself to Cain. But do you know, throughout the Bible, he's kind of brought up in this issue of sin that tangles us up. In Jude chapter 1, verse 11, there's something called the way of Cain. I don't want to go that way. The way of Cain. In 1 John 3, John's talking about we should love each other. Love each other, love each other. And then he says this, unlike Cain. And I'm like, well, that escalated pretty quickly. Like, John's telling me, like, you should love, you know, you should love your family, you should love your enemies and love... because you don't want to be like Cain. You're right, I don't want to be like Cain, but I didn't think we were there already. I was talking about this some years ago to some friends, and one of the friends made me this little thing for my office that said, don't be like Cain. And I had that in my office, and it's kind of really a heart, doesn't make a great bumper sticker, you know? Or maybe it does. Here's what the Bible says. You play with sin, it will cause serious trouble in your life. And guess what? That's where it started with Cain. This is what Genesis 4, 6, and 7 said. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so furious? This is the front end of him murdering his brother. Why are you so furious, God says, and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? Cain, do the right thing. But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that sometimes in my life, I'm a lot more like Cain than I realize. And the question is, what sin are you not looking out for that is tangling you up and, man, could take you down? The writer of Hebrews says, look out for that. Sin will tangle you up. Sin will take you down. And here's the thing, on your best day, on my best day, sin is crouching at my door and it has a desire for me. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Look ahead. This is the last thing. Look ahead. Back to the text. For the joy that lay before him. This is Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A desire in 2021 has been rediscovering joy for us. Because all of us know that in the Christian life, despite COVID, despite how crazy life has been, that there's a vision of joy that Christians should have. And we see it here. It comes from the vision that Jesus had for joy. It's interesting. The writer tells us that Jesus endured. I thought of it this way. Suffering is endured, but joy is secured. Suffering for Jesus, suffering was endured. He endured the suffering. He despised the shame, but he knew that joy was secured. He looked at what would be accomplished by what he did on the cross, and he knew that joy was secured. And so in that joy, he endured suffering. He despised the shame. He looked ahead. It's the source of our joy. Jesus endured. The writer of Hebrews loves to use this language. He writes in chapter 11 about Moses. We're seeing this in Exodus, by the way. This is chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin, for he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures in Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. Look ahead. Look ahead through the endurance to the joy that is secured. Jesus endured. This is important. Jesus sat down. Do you see that? Look at the text with me. It says, despising the shame, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. I cannot tell you how rich that statement is. There are so many biblical implications when we say Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Theologically, I want to draw out one, okay? And it's this. It's this. From the shadow, remember we said Hebrews is about the shadow in the Old Testament to the substance of the New Testament. One writer says Jesus is the perfect high priest because in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and we're going to see this in Exodus in coming days, in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, the priest had no place to sit, right? The priest's responsibility was to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice over and over again. So the priest offered sacrifices every day and he never sat down. But the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus offered a sacrifice at the cross one time, once for all. And he sat down. He sat down. It's a stand-up world. A couple weeks ago, we went through derecho 2.0, or at least we thought we did, right? And I don't know about you, but when that severe weather warning was issued, I was standing up. I wasn't sitting down. Because I read the weather warning, and it said there were going to be big problems that were out of my control. Here's what it said. Light poles and power lines will be blown down. Wow. I might like to see that. I have no control to stop that, though. There was also some big problems for me. It said, secure your deck furniture. So I did that. Secured my deck furniture. I de-decorated my Christmas outside, right? Because the weather warning said there are going to be big problems. Stand up. Man, it's a stand-up world. I'm surrounded by people who are saying to me, stand up now, stand up this way, stand up the way I stand up. And the weather warning for 2022 indicates that these challenges are big beyond our control. There's certainly going to be more COVID realities, whatever that means. Oh, by the way, there's a political election this year. That ought to be awesome. There's something called supply chain issues. Have you heard about that? We have this little thing at Keystone called unfinished. We're trying to build a building. In a couple months, we're going to send a bunch of people from this church to start life over and plant a church in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Big stand-up things. And there's probably some big things to you. Some of you here might be sitting on the cusp of 2021 with a crisis in a relationship or in a job. Or maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. There's a lot of reasons to stand up in this world. Jesus sat down. He didn't say, "I am finished," right? He said, "It is finished." He sat down. He endured. And seeing the joy of what he would accomplish as our Savior, he sat down. So how's it look for you? Looking ahead with blank. How would you fill in that blank? January 2nd, 2022. I am looking ahead with fear. I am looking ahead with depression. I am looking ahead with a broken relationship. Man, it's a stand-up world. There are a lot of things for us to worry about looking ahead. But here's what the writer of Hebrews tells us. We can look ahead with hope because Jesus looked ahead at joy. Jesus looked ahead at joy. And because of that, because of what he saw he would accomplish, he looked ahead with joy. You and I can look ahead with hope. So on the cusp of 2022, are you looking at where you've been? Are you looking at where you're at? Or are you looking at where you're going? Wherever it is you're looking this year, keep your eyes on Jesus. He said, "It is finished," and he is seated on the throne. Let's pray. God, even as we close the pages of the Bible, we don't want to run away from the work that the Spirit of God might want to do in our hearts. And so I pray this morning that we would be mindful of where our eyes are and whether we're looking where we've been or where we're at or where we're going. All of us in some way need to turn our eyes back to Jesus and to keep our eyes fixed on the work of Christ. And so I just pray your Spirit would rest in this place and would work in the hearts of those who have been spoken to by your word, whether it's out of conviction or gratitude, whatever it may be. God, just do a work in us. Help us to lift our eyes. To lift our eyes to the transforming trailblazer, our Savior Jesus. We're so thankful for the work you've done for us through him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.